All right, 3, 2, 1. We are trying some new stuff for 2017. Hope y'all ready. I don't know really what I'm doing, but we're trying stuff, man. We're trying to get this thing rolling. Podcast is live streaming simultaneously as it's live recording. The podcast drop date will still be on Friday, but if you're bored enough to watch us talk for a few minutes, you don't got to stay the whole time. I don't expect you to sit there for an hour, but if you want to see a few minutes of it and see how we do things here behind the scenes in the old garage, this is what we're doing. So Nashville talks to Taylor Jones and friends today. So this is what we do. We call it a podcast, but really it's just conversations that we record, and we try to talk about decent stuff. Sometimes we get off kilter and go down different roads that maybe aren't as, I don't know, rich, so to speak. But they're funny.
That's fair.
They're funny to us.
I mean, if you listen to the Right to Air podcast, it was nothing but rabbit trails.
Oh, yeah. But that's what we wanted out of him.
Well, exactly.
So, if you want one of these little fuzzy things on your mic, there's probably some laying around over in here. If it'll make it, I don't know if that makes a difference in our volume.
Yeah, I think it'll be all
right
for this
one. You'll mix it right. You'll mix it down anyway. So
the mixing, it's just so much that goes into it. The podcast making so much.
Yeah. So Trey Dunn back on the show. He was on a few weeks ago. He's like our podcast intern. He's learning how to podcast.
Yeah,
mostly from basically. Ian, not from me. So I'm Mr. Content. Ian does everything else.
I've just got the technical side.
Yeah, you got it covered.
The production.
So.
I love it though. It's a lot. It's definitely, you're a great team. I can just, I can tell as far as like just the whole handling of all this. And the other day while I was back home, I was talking to my family about the podcast stuff, and a couple of them had listened to the podcast that we had done. And I know at the beginning of the podcast, you were talking about how you're like, oh, the new name of the podcast.
Yeah.
Nashville Talks. Hope it, like, you know, catches on, this, that, and the other. Well, my family really loved that name.
Did they really?
Nashville Talks with Taylor Jones, yeah.
Well,
they really liked that name.
I hope so, man. I hope somebody likes it.
So
it's a little more unique than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it would be 10 podcasts called that already.
Yeah, exactly. But I went to search your podcast the other day to share the link for the whole thing, and
it was
the only one, Nashville Talks. That's it. Yeah. Just with Taylor Jones.
That's crazy.
It's good. I think it's smooth. It's nice. It's just nice. It's a nice name. It rings. I didn't know how hard it was to come up with a name until literally you're in it.
Oh yeah.
So now it's like, dang, what am I going to call my podcast and all sorts of stuff. But I'm finally glad to see that, you know, things coming together. It's awesome.
Well, it does. I mean, new year, new you. Here we go. New challenges, right? New things that we're going to try to accomplish. So, we do have a plan for this conversation. We're going to talk about some of our New Year's ideas, and I don't know about resolutions. I just call them goals. I mean, whatever. I think
goals are better because resolutions are almost meant to be ignored by day January 2nd.
I mean, they have that sort of thing, and I like nothing against them, obviously. But I resolve to hit my goals, I guess. So, I don't know, man. I want to talk first thing first. Oh, there went my board. Hold on a second. See, that's some of the entertainment you didn't pay for right there. I want to talk for a second. I think 2016 got a lot of heat, man. And I know there was a lot of, like, stuff that happened, but stuff happens every year, man, you know? And,
it's mostly because it was a presidential election year. That's where a lot of
the
negativity
sucked.
Comes from.
Yeah.
But the other day, I actually saw on Facebook that somebody had posted here's all the great things that happened this year. And there were a lot of really great things.
Yeah, like, we found an Ebola vaccine, like, for real. You know what I mean?
What was the name of the new museum that just went up to?
Down here?
No, I think it's in Washington, maybe.
What museum are you talking about, Ian?
I can't quite remember.
Well,
I don't remember either.
I think it was like a Black History Museum or something like that.
Oh, yes, it's a museum that has all of the. It's a dedication to a lot of the lives lost during the years of slavery.
That's right, yeah. So, you know, like that museum just went up. So
yeah. We're coming. Oh, yeah, this lady in my Uber cart said that she went to that.
Wait, as you were Ubering?
I was in the Uber, she was in my car, and she was like, oh, I just got back from Washington. I went to the new Black History Museum, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know there was one, so I'm following you now. But I don't know. I don't mean to, like, I don't know, just downplay what happened, because a lot of people did die, but, like, you know, I saw a lot of like, okay, the year, I got the vibe that the year itself was responsible for different things that are happening. I'm like, no, the year is not sovereign over the universe. Like, that's not really the case. Like, you know, people, we do pass away. Like, that's what we do, you know,
right.
Like, especially to a certain age. And yeah, it's heartbreaking in a lot of ways. Cause some people go young and stuff, but not to minimize it or anything, but like, you know, and this year was especially big for that. But I don't know, like 2016, it was hard. I mean, it was like a rebuilding year. I know for us it was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody on this couch lost their job at least once this year probably.
That's a fact.
Yeah, I guarantee. I did.
It was a hard year. I mean, just I feel like Friday night for Ronda Rousey just illustrates the what 2016 was for.
Man, I watched that fight. I paid my money to watch that fight. I'm one of the people that paid for 48 seconds of a fight. But you know what? The fight before it almost made it worth it, though. Those guys went in.
Dominic Cruz and
they went five rounds.
Cody
and what's his name? Cody. He was dancing and carrying on in the middle of the fight.
Really?
He whooped the other guy.
Really? Mm. See, I didn't see it.
So. I kept thinking the guy was going to get knocked out, but he just could take a punch. Like
Garbrandt could?
No, the other cat, Cruz.
Dominic Cruz could?
Yeah. Garbrandt, he's the cat that won. He was all over the place.
Yeah.
Doing big things. And
you could tell he's a rising star.
Yeah. He was to me, I could tell he really wanted to be like Connor. You know what I mean? Like, he even had tattoos like Connor. Name across here, chest tat, the whole thing. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just coincidence.
I mean, he
jumped on top of the cage like Connor at the end of the fight.
Connor McGregor has that influence on the UFC. So, I mean,
he came out of nowhere, too, in the last couple
selling.
Of years.
Yeah, Connor McGregor's selling, so everyone's trying to jump on board.
Yeah, so.
Doing the same things.
So, let's talk about some bad stuff that happened to us in 2016. I guess let's start there, and then let's redeem it in the end.
Okay.
How about that? So how we grew and stuff. I'll go first, I guess. It's my podcast. It's my sort of responsibility to go first, I guess.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's pretty well documented what happened with me. I mean, the band's not touring anymore. So that was who I was for
it's
the last five
hit.
Or 6 years. That's not what I'm doing anymore. You know, and we went from doing 100 shows a year or something to really, you know, chasing after it and doing our thing and feeling like we were, you know, doing what we were dreaming to do and blah, 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 and all that stuff. And things changed and we're not doing it right now, you know? So that was like a huge, oh, crap, I got to get a job kind of vibe. But I'm still not trying to, I don't want a job, right? Still ain't got one, right? So you have this choice where you can, like, you can either, I don't know, go down some hole and pitch a fit, or you can try to reinvent yourself, you know, and give yourself another shot at, I don't know, this crazy entertainment world, which is basically what I consider it, you know?
I like it, yeah.
Because, like, the name of the card on the marquee is entertainment. So, whatever you're doing, podcasting or drumming or whatever, like, the idea is for the people to enjoy it and buy it, carry on, whatever, that kind of thing. So, the podcast was already started, but it was like, okay, let's focus on that. You know, I always wanted to do other stuff with the drums, which never really was home to do. So like playing in church, never got to do that really, but now I get to do that, you know? So that was one of the good things that kind of was born out of that deal. And most importantly, I guess for me, is just realizing that, dude, you're not what you do is not who you are. It's only a part of it. And like with or without it, like God is still good and you're still you. And like, you know, your value's not determined by what you do, in other words.
Yeah.
And I kind of had the hard way learn that, because I really beat myself up for a while feeling like I didn't really fit in anymore, kind of. You know what I mean? I felt like the music business kind of kicked me out in a lot of ways. I was like, you're not good enough for this anymore. So roll, you know what I mean? Find something else to do. And, but you just got to say no to that stuff, man. I really think that's a tactic of the enemy to get you to get off the mark and just,
you
know what I mean? Get away from your gift and whatever that is. And so one of the pluses, I got to do more sessions last year than I ever got to do before, which is what I really want to do anyway. You know, like, I like the road. I don't love the road. You know, the road is hard. You know, the road is a commitment big time. And it's hard to put a price tag on or a day rate on leaving your house, you know. And if the situation's right, it's totally worth it, whatever that means, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's rare that everything's really great, you know. So this year, my goal is to focus even more on the session work side of things. And thankfully, thanks to some good brothers. I got the first one already on the books for the year, which I set a goal. I posted that on my Instagram earlier, that like to do 10 projects this year, be a part of 10 different recording projects. All I want to do, that's not even one a month. But if I can do that, I'll call it a solid year. You know, that's a tough thing to get into. And especially in, you know, this day and age when you can, you know, whatever, buy a drum pack on friggin' Google and get yourself a drummer that way. But I'm a firm believer that like a human being playing the drums will never go away. Like it'll never go out of style.
I don't think you can.
No, it just has, there's feel to it or whatever. And, you know, there's only so much a computer can do for you.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, that was some of the good stuff that came out of it. Not to mention just, I don't know, just community growth, like getting to be a part of a more of a part of a church community from just being home more and not being gone for weeks at a time and missing out on different things. I missed out on less in 2016 than I ever did, you know, from being home, and got to be with Kyla more and all that stuff, and eat more meals at the dinner table, eat more hot chicken with you. And that whole, not only that, we kind of rekindled this year.
Yeah, we did.
We got back together after a long time of just going our own, being gone all the time, you working where you're working. And now we're doing this podcast together, and it's a lot more fun with somebody else and other people involved than it is just doing it by yourself. I did it for a year by myself, and it was like, I don't know if I'm liking this that much, you know?
That's exactly where I'm at with the whole deal, too. It's like, man, it's cool when you have people involved rather than you just, like, doing a journey by yourself. But I think it's really cool. It's awesome.
Well, what's been your deal this year, man? What's been your ups and downs?
2016. It's definitely... 2016 was a year, I would say, of stubborn growth. And I say stubborn growth because it's like some of those things that you know you got to get better at, but you're trying to fight it the whole time. But it's
oh,
like,
I can feel that.
Just let it go, man. You got to release it. So it was. I'd say that was my... that's been my 2016. It's just a year of transition, you know? And I think it's like that holds true across so many different areas of life, whether it be like our work literally transitioning from one neighborhood to another, to me transitioning roles within our organization from one role to another, to even like transitioning as and I guess developing as just a person, you know? Trying to grow. I think that's what it's been. It's been a transitional year.
It was. I mean, I forgot to mention we threw some footballs a lot that year too.
Yeah, we did.
we played some tough games, won some games, lost some games.
It was, oh man, flag. I was literally thinking about flag football this morning. I was like, man, I can't wait because I'm, you know, in my closet cleaning up, doing my deal. I see my jersey, the standard, and I'm just like, dude, when do I get to wipe the dust off this thing? Put this baby back on.
I'm like nervous, man. I don't know if like I haven't even talked to Charlie or nothing about what's the next
for our flag team.
I don't even know about it because it's a big commitment.
I was thinking about it today, yeah.
And I don't know about you, but, like, I'm at this thing with it where, like, those guys that you play against play, like, 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah. And those guys are really in it, you know?
They are so in it.
Like, that's their investment, right?
Yes.
And it's not, like, there's nothing wrong with that, but, I mean, at the same time, I have so much other stuff going on.
I don't know if we can compete with them at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Even though we did.
Yeah.
And we ended up, we were in there.
I feel like because of the talent on our team, we could make a run. And I think we'll always be able to do that because of the talent.
Yeah.
We're just so talented across the board. We'll always be able to make a run. But yeah, to be like really good.
To win it all.
A lot of work.
Like them cats that win it all a lot.
Yeah. They're like ranked nationally and
going to nationals. And
But I swear to you, if we were to do that, like if our team.
We could do it.
We would blast these teams. Like I'm talking like, I think we'd beat them by a lot. Like we'd be far and away just because we're guys that we're just showing up every week, meeting
jabrons.
Up to play.
Yeah. No practice.
And we're playing with you guys. And you're like,
we went to the championship game.
Yeah.
Like seriously.
Dude. Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
We should have won that one, but we didn't.
We should have. It was,
we had a bad game.
Brutal.
Brutal. But that's some other time. So, fired stories. Who's got a fired story? I got one. I got fired off a gig this year. That's all I'll say about it. And I deserved it, most likely. Usually when stuff like that happens, it's usually because you deserve it.
You got fired off a gig for what?
not knowing the charts good enough.
Oh, gotcha.
But you know what came from that? I learned how to read charts, write and read charts like a madman. And if it wasn't for that, I never would have like sat down and actually studied it and learned it.
Yeah.
Because like you can't survive on session world without being able to read charts, you know? And I honestly, truth be told, I didn't really want to do the gig. I put it on the back burner and whatever.
Yeah. Well, right. You know, I mean, you said from the beginning of getting that job, like, it's not your style of music. You're just kind of doing it to do it.
Yeah. And I should have been more honest from the jump. It would have saved everybody a headache, but I wasn't. And it just, hey. And after that, that thing went away, and that was going to be a fall thing. And then got the Sadie thing, which was awesome. A real highlight of my year, even though it was the hardest thing I did all year, trying to stay awake all night for a month. But it was awesome at the same time. So, anyway, that's my kind of get fired story.
Well, I don't know if I would really consider it being fired or leaving. It was pretty mutual, actually. But this fits in. What did you? The year of stubborn growth, which is what I think we should call this episode. By the way,
stubborn growth. Stubborn the year growth. Of stubborn growth.
2016 in a nutshell. But. Turns out, after 5 years of working for the company that I did, and this is a company I was fully invested in, thought, I'm definitely going to retire from this company in another 40 years, whatever. I just kind of thought that this was it, and I became very complacent in my job. But at the same time, I'd worked myself into a position where I was no longer happy, which was a sales position, and sales in that world was not really my skill set, but I had skills that lent myself very well into it. So I was very helpful in there, but it just really wasn't me. And so just over the last year of me working there, I became very unhappy being there and loved everybody there, just not the job.
Yeah.
And so my boss even tried to help me out. He put me in another department, but I just liked that even less. And so it kind of came down to them recognizing it before me that I needed to move on.
Yeah.
And so they basically let me know that and let me leave on my own terms.
Nice.
So that's why I say it's not like necessarily fired. Yeah. But what that did, that left me unemployed for about 3 months.
Yeah, you did.
And frankly, that's part of why I'm on the podcast now helping Taylor out, because I was looking for work and I was like, oh, Taylor, you're doing a podcast. I'm not doing anything. Why don't I come over and help you?
Yeah, because you know I need some help.
So that's why I'm here to begin with. But in that time, I started looking for other career jobs and things. And so, of course, I came out of sales. So that was my first thought, was let's go find another sales job. And very quickly realized within like a month or so of doing that, looking for that work. And I even got hired by some company for a minute, ended up leaving. It was kind of subcontract work basically, but it was sales. Mm-hmm. And it just made me realize, like, I really hate sales. Like, I've got a skill set that lends itself to it, like I said, but I don't want to be salesman full time. And so that kind of led me into looking at other jobs that I've ignored before. In fact, one of them was working for Simply Mac, which is where I'm working now. Love the company, love the job. It's kind of a great deal. It's not necessarily where I want to end up for the rest of my life, but there's been other things that have also come up during this kind of journey.
Right.
That it's just been almost a year of discovery.
Yeah.
And part of it is the stubborn growth, where I definitely feel like God pushed me out of my old job to say, this is not really where I want you long term. And you've become too complacent. You're just sitting here in this job. It's not really for you. Yeah. So,
man, that's huge. And that's just an awesome transition too, right? And I feel like in that story, and dude, I'm sorry, I'm so ADHD, but I keep thinking about like, man, Ian, this would sound perfect on my podcast if I was recording it right now, because this is like exactly kind of this kind of stuff I wanted to talk about, kind of just content wise in my podcast. But what a crazy story. And the thing that, you know, I kind of see too, looking back at your story, is the fact that like it's that nonstop like transition, but like the transition had to happen for the development of, you know, yourself, right?
Right.
So, you know, with all those things that happen, although there was like the growth that we don't like, the stuff that's, you know, hard to kind of let go of. So maybe that comfort or just being in the zone of kind of doing what you've always done. We in that complacency, you know, we kind of realize, man, this is maybe not exactly where I'm supposed to be at. But because of the transition and because of that, you know, step forward or step out of that, a lot of other things opened up that we didn't really see happening before, right? But
exactly.
That growth had to happen first, and that transition did. And I think that's so awesome to see that, you know, circle back around. It's
well,
cool.
Well, I mean, there's, in fact, even things I've said in years past, like working for the company I did, opportunities came up, and I turned them down because I thought, well, I could go that route, and that could be mean success for me, mm-hmm. but I'm more comfortable being here. Yeah. So it's one of those great things. When God pushes you out, he pushes you out of your comfort zone, and you're stuck not only to just figure out what he wants for you to do next, but it really puts you in kind of a reflective state to go, what do I really want to do? What else am I good at?
Exactly. And I think that's what's so cool about life too, though, right? Because it's like, all right, it's 2017, you know, reflecting back on 2016. This is where I started at. This is kind of where I ended up. Looking back at the story, these are the takeaways. This is what we learned. This is how we grew. But because of the fact that there has been growth from the beginning of the year to the end, it's like, all right, we have something that we can hang our hat on now, right?
Yes.
And now it's like, okay, now that, you know, this formula, looking at my life, like seeing this past year, this is what's worked. Let's see if I can take it to the next level in 2017, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to live life in such a way that's like more open mm-hmm. to the possibilities for other opportunities to make themselves known, right?
Exactly.
And I think that it actually brings that comfort back into knowing that, okay, it's all right not to know. It's all right to have that ambiguity when it comes to certain things. But when I just let it open up, boom, let's see what's going to happen, because this is what it has shown me in years past, you know. And I think that's really cool, man. It's really cool because you see that growth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, I mean, if we don't willingly walk up out of our comfort zone, sometimes the Lord has to push us out of it.
Yeah.
Yep. For sure.
It's just our stubbornness, going back to the stubborn year. But I don't know, man. I just think, like, so many good things happen that I couldn't plan. Like, you know, you and I met on a random in the grass field somewhere.
Yeah, dude.
Throwing a ball.
Like football.
Which has nothing to do with music or anything that I really do, you know? And then Ian called me on. Really, we reconnected when you told me you lost your gig.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean? Or that you were leaving or whatever the deal was. And it was like, oh, and so after that, it's like we kind of bonded over it.
Yeah.
You know? And
exactly.
I just think.
Because we talked for hours about uh-huh. opportunities, and you kind of pointed out to me from the beginning, like, here's how you can grow from this experience.
Yeah.
Which I needed. I needed, you know, a friend my age to kind of help push me that direction to see what was happening.
As iron sharpens iron, so shall one man sharpen another.
Yeah, and, you know, that's good because, I mean, we got to walk through this deal together, you know.
That's
like,
right.
The more allies you have and the more bros you have. And anybody who's watching this, man, and, like, you know what I mean? If you're a girl and you don't have solid girlfriends or whatever, if you're a guy, you don't have solid guy friends, like, seek them out best you can.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the only advice I can really give, is I don't know how to do it or whatever, but pray for it, fast over it, get in community with other people. Not that they don't have to be just like you. They don't have to be the mm-hmm. same age or whatever. And, you know, you have mentors that you need and those type of people. We also have, like, your peers.
Yeah.
You know, your once a week friends, the friends you talk to every week.
That's awesome. And that's like kind of the thing. We're such, like, relational beings, right? Like, mm-hmm. we're not meant, and I feel like that's, like, the one of the many essential beauties of the good news is that, like, life is not meant to be lived alone. It's meant to be experienced, shared, and this journey's meant to be, you know, done together on a journey of wholeness together, because we're all in the same boat as far as, you know, everybody's got something going on. Everyone has, like, our own lives, our own things that we're dealing with on a day-to-day, but it makes, like, those things that are tough a lot better when you're doing it with other people.
Yeah.
And hearing someone else's story, you can take something from that. And even, like, me sitting here hearing everything that Ian's saying and the things that are going on with you that I had no idea about, it's like, man, because you never know where someone else is at in their life and what your story is going to do for them. So me listening to you all is like, look, I've kind of been on this bubble of, am I going to take that jump? Am I not going to take that jump? What are all the pros and cons, things to consider? And hearing your all story and just how good and how faithful God's been in your all's life is just that affirmation that I needed in my own life to be like, look, it's all right to take that step and accept that uncomfort.
Yeah.
Because at the end of this deal, you're going to be right back or raised even higher than where I had you at the beginning. So I think that that's like the beauty in storytelling, you know, and that's why I'm like so excited about this podcast and, you know, streaming video and getting the word out, because that's something that everybody can resonate with.
Well, I hope so, man. So you can tell me more about your podcast that you're building. You're going to start one up this year.
Dude, yeah, that's a 2017 goal. I'm so even just being here with you all, and I think, you know, talking to you about it at our last interview, that was one of the things I'm like super excited about. I think now from then till now, I've gotten a lot of stuff done as far as like the behind the scenes, what all you need to get, you know, ready. And this is like a big deal. Like, this is not something that's like taken lightly. Even I have like a ton of respect for just like the casual guy who starts something just because he wants to like talk every week or, you know, get something going. Just the weekend podcaster, because it's a lot of stuff, you know. But the general gist of my podcast, it's going to be called Neighbors Narratives. And the general gist of our podcast is literally getting our neighbors to come in and really share their story, share their narrative, because there's always something that someone else might be able to pull from it. So each week we'll have like different acts and different people on, and we're just going to be going through tackling some different issues going on in the world or whatever their narrative might illustrate, you know, for that week. So that's the general gist of mine. I'm really pumped about it. I'm super excited. Like, there's a ton of stuff that makes me excited about it, just because, you know, the possibilities with it are endless. But it's a lot. Like, when you first like look at it, it's like, dang, dude, this is kind of a big beast, you know.
Well, I really think it's so easy to just not do it.
Yeah.
And to be sort of thrown off the trail. And like, I think that the enemy wants you to not do it, because that way, you know, nobody will be whatever blessed by it, kind of thing.
I think that's how I felt about this weekend. My computer crashed. I was like, all right, I feel like I'm doing the right thing. When I got bad things going on around it, it's like, all right, I'm where I'm supposed to be at.
Yep.
Now, you know?
Yep. Like, computers crashing. Like, that's nuts. Like, you couldn't have planned that.
No.
And it's randomly. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
Like, for real, attack mode is real, you know? You got the dang Bell's palsy at one time over it.
I know, man.
You know, like, all kinds of stuff going on. But, you know, it's like you said, you know you're in the right place, and just go do it, man. Like, give yourself an opportunity to hate it is kind of my thing. It's like, if you do it and you don't like it, you can always stop doing it.
Yeah.
But if you just talk yourself out of doing it, then it's like you never really gave that thing any legs.
Yeah.
To try.
Give it a chance, yeah.
To try to get there. So
no, I'm pumped about it. I've got like a lot of people are buzzing about it too, like wanting to get involved, wanting to take part in it, and that makes me really excited. And like, I just feel like in my life, I've been blessed enough to know like so many different people, right? And regardless of, you know, from the president of Bridgestone to the janitor at Napier Elementary School,
right?
Like, they're, every single one of those people far and in between have a narrative and have a story and have something that connects them with someone else in the world. But like, we don't necessarily like take those things into consideration when I'm, you know, checking out at Kroger or driving down I-65 and getting stopped in traffic, and there's thousands of cars around me. Like, little do I know, like, in each one of those cars is a soul that is the highest form of God's creation that has their own story and purpose and, you know, reason for being here right now at this moment. How cool would it be if I could tap into that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like where it all came from, man. You know, I really do think that it's going to be something special. I just, you know, it's hard to go from idea in your head to making it, materializing it, and like, this is the deal, and now we got it, you know?
Well, you're getting close. You know, you're really close. Just keep going. You know, if the rest of us jabronis can do it, then you can do it.
Keep on keeping on.
You know, just keep, just knock it out, man. You got it covered. So I think it's a great idea. Ian, what you got for this year?
Well, for this year, so obviously new job, just accepted that in December. So we're going to kind of see how far this takes me. I mean, God could end up using this to put me up somewhere higher up in the company, somewhere totally different. Who knows? But even kind of outside of the work world, I'm really wanting to kind of push forward with kind of the extracurricular stuff, like this podcast stuff. Mm-hmm. Cause of course at the moment I don't see this as a job. It's, you know, it's just something, we do to have fun mostly. And, I would love to do more audio work.
Yeah.
And so part of, kind of my push this year is to try to get a couple of albums. Like, I know one of your goals is to, actually play on 10 projects. I would love to mix 10 projects. That'd be great.
Write that down, bro. It writes it into existence.
Yeah.
Something about writing it down.
Yeah. That's really all I really have. Mm-hmm. I just want to kind of enhance what I'm already doing. Yeah. Kind of what I've learned over the 3 months, kind of take that move the past 3 months, take that, push it forward into 2017 and just keep growing. And spiritually, one of the biggest things I want to take into 2017, as I've learned over the last 3 months, is to just become more moldable,
mm-hmm.
I guess. To be more accepting of what God's doing in my life and to right. watch for it better. Mm. I want to make sure that I don't become that complacent guy again in whatever job and just assume this is comfortable, this is where I should be.
Yeah.
I want to always be looking for the next big thing. Not that there's always going to be a next big thing, but just to be watchful for what God's trying to teach me.
Mm-hmm. Good word,
and, man. Use that by fellowshipping with other friends that are also believers.
Yeah. Yeah. Chicken. Eat yes. some chicken together. That's our deal.
There's something about food. Like
table fellowship, man.
Just a good meal and sharing that good meal with other people. There's just something about it, you know?
Yep.
That's like another, when I was even, you know, thinking about the whole podcast deal, that's like, I was just thinking about all the cool kind of podcasts people could put together. And I wish I could just be a podcast, like, content generator,
mm-hmm.
like, make that a job. That'd be awesome, just because I have so many random podcast ideas. Like, oh, man, I would love to have a podcast or, like, a little entertainment deal where I just have a bunch of friends around. We're eating some really, really good food, like, once a week, and we're just talking about, you know, whatever. That'd be awesome.
You know, that's a good point. I mean, some of the best conversations come out at the dinner table.
At the dinner table, yeah. Yeah. Or breakfast. Or, like, over, like, a lot of great conversations I've had have been, you know, over food. We've meeting people for coffee and end up getting a ton of breakfast, or meeting someone for lunch and even for dinner, man. There's just something about being around food and the conversations that come from it. I love it.
So maybe that's what you do. You just invite some people over to dinner, set some mics up on the table.
And yeah. And just get it going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's, like, a little bit of what I did over Christmas break too, like whenever I was back home in Kentucky with my family, we'd be eating. I would just like pull out a mic, like, "Hey, let's just, you know, ignore this thing. We're just gonna keep doing us, and just let's just listen after we get done and see where it took us, you know." But I think it'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's a man. Cool deal. I think you're saying something when he's like, "Let's see where it takes you," because, you know, geez, man, every great idea. Like, saw some commercials, like, every idea born into the world is ugly and rejected. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then after the idea gets over, all of a sudden it's, like, embraced and everybody wants to be associated with it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm sure somebody, like, whoever developed the freaking light bulb or telephone or whatever, like,
parachute
crazy.
Pants.
Yeah. They frowned on it, but then everybody was wearing them. Somebody frowned on yoga pants at one
oh,
point.
Oh, for sure.
And now look, and things are more over.
Now it's a Walmart standard.
Yeah. So now yoga look pants. At them. They're out there.
I can only imagine what's going to be like something huge in 2017. Like something that just really catches on that everyone else thought was
bro, you know
terrible.
What's got on my radar is this free data gimmick. Like, what's going on with that? Have you seen that on TV?
Like on your phones and such?
Yeah, like DirecTV. Watch it data free because they're in bed with AT&T now, right? So how is that a thing? Like, what's the deal mm-hmm. on that? You know, because I got AT. No, I don't. I used to have AT&T and DirecTV. So does that mean I get to watch TV for free? on my phone.
Dang.
Because you pay your DirecTV bill? Is that what they're trying to say? With no data? And the only reason they can pull that off is because they own the phone company too, right? Or the opposite way.
I forget somebody which one it is.
Somebody, it's a monopoly.
They're lease partners. But you're right. The DirecTV Now, for some reason, you can, as long as you have an AT&T line, you can watch DirecTV Now on your phone for free. No data taken up.
People are going to run. They're going
to
do that.
And T-Mobile has it to where it's kind of the same deal. Like, you, any type of things that you stream on your phone, it's for free. Huh. So, like, videos and...
That's going to be the new game. Like, who can give me the thing for no data?
Yeah.
Because data is like... The linchpin and the whole deal right now. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everybody's lives revolves around how much phone data they have.
Yeah.
I think it's Cricket. Their data is just unlimited. That's, they don't have packages. They just got unlimited data. That's it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, man. It's always changing, man. The minute you think you got something on lockdown, somebody makes it free.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Isn't that funny?
And that breaks you. It's like, oh.
Gosh, you're right. Everything. So... Whatever, man.
What's some good, like, fads, or what's some good kind of pop culture stuff that's happened in 2016?
Huh. Let's think. What are things people say and fads that have come down the line?
The Wall's one.
Which one? What is that?
The Wall.
What is that?
Trump's wall.
Oh,
wall.
Gosh. Building a freaking wall.
Build the wall.
Or I mean, even some like dance moves, like
Juju on that beat.
Yeah, Juju on that beat was huge in 16.
I feel like all of them, Nene, all that stuff was,
and all that will be extinct come like summer of 2017. Like, nobody will remember what it was.
Yeah, it's gonna be brand new stuff happening.
Yeah, like Stanky Leg was 2009 or something.
Was it?
Yeah, Stanky Leg.
You know, they come out with a new dance thing every year. So, what's the 2017 dance gonna be called?
I like to see the sprinkler make its way back.
Oh, no.
The sprinkler.
go back to some classics, the shopping cart.
Can
that
the funky
sort of thing.
Chicken make a run back?
Bro, I like going to weddings and figure out who's been in the club before and who hasn't. If y'all remember by the reception, the one who knows all the.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
You know, teaching everybody how to do the wobble. I'm like, yeah, you've been in the. Yeah.
You can tell who's been in the club, who hasn't. It's hilarious.
It's true. It's
hilarious. They just call me the party foul at weddings.
No.
I'm the guy, you know, everybody's going through the limbo. I'm the first one fall.
You would. Yep. That's definitely right down your wheelhouse.
Oh, man. That's fun. That is fun.
I don't know any of the new dances.
Nope.
I'm
me neither.
I think the only reason why I do know this stuff is because, you know, working with kids, it keeps you.
Yeah.
It keeps you up to date with everything that's going on.
Bro, yeah. I seen this little girl. It's coming down the street over there by on the hill on Thompson Place by the apartments. This little girl was teaching herself how to do the juju dance in the window, using it as a mirror. the window of her house, like the sliding door window.
Gosh. Yes.
But she was out there getting it. And I'm like, dude, she's putting in her practice.
I have a little cousin over Thanksgiving break. Her name's Erica. And she's not even two yet, I don't think. And she loves that song, Juju on that beat, and can do the dance. And she was like, I was like doing it with her, and she could like stop it and make it go like whatever she wanted, and I was like kind of doing it but messing it up because she was doing that, and she just thought it was hilarious, like just making fun of me. She's like, God, you're just embarrassing yourself here. So funny. But gave it a go.
I don't know what some more stuff going on.
There's got to be more like that.
I'm sure, dude. We got the worst memories. We can't remember all that.
Oh yeah, it's also one of those things. I feel like in conversation I could like tell you all this stuff, but then when you like ask me on the spot, hey, can you name some stuff from, I'm like, oh gosh, well, no,
I was there, I swear. I just don't remember. I can't prove it. I
just don't remember a thing. What, like, podcast wise what are like some goals you'd like to see happen surrounded by Nashville Talks? Like, what are some things that you're just like, I don't know, 2017 would be complete or, you know, successful?
I mean, I think if we could get 1,000 listeners a week, I'd be pretty happy. You know,
1,000 listeners. What's the average? See, that's stuff I don't even look at. Like, what's the average listeners for like just any podcast?
It just depends on how famous the person is that's doing it.
Exactly.
You know, like, I think most recently I had like 250 downloads. You know, a couple last week or whatever, and I'm like, okay, that's respectable from where I come from, which is one, you know what I mean?
Myself.
Yeah, like, so And I'm, because of being in the Vespers for a while, like I do have somewhat of a, of an audience built in or whatever from association with that project. But right. like it's, there's something to, anytime you try to do something new, right? So if you post a picture on Instagram, if 10% of your followers like it, then that's a pretty good day for a picture. Like people just don't see a lot of times what you produce. Yeah. You know what I mean? Is my point. And so for me, it's like, how do I make it more consistently known, not just something that's like one tweet in a week, you know, like what can I do better to market it or whatever,
right.
to where it's something that people know about? Because podcasting is a niche thing to begin with. Not everybody's going to be into it,
yeah.
but the people that are love it. And I just want to get my our conversations in the same queue as some of the best in the world. Like, you know, and that's going to take, I don't know, just good content. You know, yeah. if the conversations are good, I think the people will hear them.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of has to go that way. And thankfully, the way that mine works is a lot of times I'm talking to people that are that are like what I was, which is they have a following because of what they do. Mm-hmm. You know, and if I can do better about spreading it around that way, depending on who you interview, you know, and getting them to help you with it, then spread it around themselves. So, but I think if we can get to where at the end of the year we got 1,000 people a week listening to this thing, and I think all the other stuff will fall into place.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, I do have some goals that we've talked yeah. about for the podcast. One of them being we never did quite hone in on our catchphrase.
You're right. We're still working on that.
Do you want to have a catchphrase?
Well, you know, the like the phrase that when you open up the show, you kind of say this.
And so, oh, I got it. So, like, you mean like the like an intro, outro kind of deal?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Well, like, I always just, because it's the only, like, radio show that's been like a TV show, I always go back to, like, Frasier. But, you know, like, his little catchphrase was, you're on the radio with Dr. Frasier Crane. I'm listening. So it's like that I'm listening kind of thing. But we tried some intro stuff. I forget.
Off the top of my head.
Yeah. I think you said something like, this is Nashville Talks with Taylor Jones, where we talk with Nashville or something.
It was bad.
It didn't go over well.
But
it was, we're trying it.
Farting so. Church worthy. It wasn't great.
So part of it's just getting kind of a generic format for at least the intro and outro. Of course, the conversations always vary so much by the guest.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But we can kind of hone in on kind of an intro, outro.
I got you.
We gotta tighten it up. Like,
yeah.
I'm real loose anyway with the way that I go about everything. Like, it's hard for me to do something in a regimented, like. And obviously, the more consistencies there are and the more gimmicks that you have, like, the easier it is to remember and the more yeah. people can relate to it.
Yeah.
You know, but right now we've just kind of, when we first started, I was like, okay, I'll just focus on the content because I know that's what I do.
Right.
You know, and so there's no intro music. There's no, none of that, because I'm just like, get straight to the content. Because when I usually get the way, it's just based on the way I listen to a podcast. I just fast forward straight to the content.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like I don't care about the bells and whistles. I don't need all that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But just, that's me. Not everybody's that way. A lot of people judge how legitimate you are by some of those bells and whistles, and it makes them right. feel better about spending their hour with you.
Listen to this yeah. guy. Yeah.
Because they see like the effort that you're putting in to be a professional about it. You know, so there's all kinds of different schools of thought that go in, but, and that's what's good to bounce off with him, because if it's left it to me, I'd just do it my way, and you either take it or leave it, and if you don't like it, you know, then,
right,
you know, I don't really care, but well, that's not the best way to market yourself.
Yeah.
Yep. And we have hit some goals this year. Like, one of our goals was to release a podcast every week.
Yeah.
And so we pretty much hit that.
Since you and I got together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we kind of sat down, kind of decided on a day, and I missed one day, but
yeah, not by much.
But yeah,
it was New Year's and Christmas, so
yeah, we'll give ourselves that one.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
But
I missed 4 or 5 weeks one time because of being on the road.
Yes, exactly. But see, we'll even get that figured out if that ever happens again. We'll make sure it's set up so
we'll
that
backlog.
We can still do those.
Yeah, we'll backlog them and get them right. And I like to see maybe an advertiser or one, but I think that'll come with just growing naturally and
that will.
Producing a good product. And, you know, because, you know, some of my old buddies say if I was in it for the money, I'd be doing something else.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's pretty much my whole life, you know. It's like, why do the things that I love come at a place where it's just hard to make money at? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you just stick with it and like going back to, you know, there's always room for good stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always room in entertainment. Like there's never too many shows out that you won't watch of Breaking Bad. You know what I mean? Like there's zillions of shows out now, but you still watch your best ones. Yeah. You know, so.
I think on that advertiser, we should go after advertisers that make no sense for us.
Oh, gosh.
You know, like Nashville Talks with Taylor Jones, sponsored by Elmer's Glue.
Yeah.
You know, something.
Hey, if they send me a check, I'll talk to them.
You know what I mean? Is that something too, like monetizing the podcast? And
yeah, that's definitely in my goal list for the year, is monetize it in some kind of way. Because right now it costs me money.
Yeah.
So.
Which leads me into the next goal, by the way. Well, I always forget the name of this site, but the one where we can post additional content and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the Patreon thing.
So Patreon, for those who don't know, Patreon allows us to basically give several tiers of product. So there's like one tier, which is just you donate a dollar every, is it month or week? I forget. But whatever it is, you donate a dollar just because, and we just say thank you.
You send exclusive content to those
people.
Yeah,
like the $3 package, you get to see the video posting of our podcast every
which
week.
Which is free right now on Instagram right now. So.
Yeah, we're live now.
Yeah, we're live, buddy.
Live.
And then I've been checking, I've been getting up out of my seat to make sure the thing is still working. So if you're tuning in on our Instagram live, we really appreciate it, and makes us feel like people care about what we're doing, and you know, however little... it is, but anyway, y'all, thank you very much. And
if you're listening to the podcast, don't go check Instagram. We're not live anymore.
No, we're not live anymore. Instagram, I mean, the podcast drops every Friday, usually early in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So today is Monday.
Why'd you pick Friday?
Because my favorite podcasts come out on Friday, and I always look forward to it.
Well, and Friday gives you, you still have the one day in the week where you're driving home from work, you can start the podcast, but it also gives you kind of the Saturday morning. It's still fresh on your mind. Like it just dropped Friday. Oh, it's Saturday morning. I'm not doing anything. Just walking around the house, cleaning, whatever. So you can go listen to it. So
yeah.
It gives you kind of a good jump into the weekend.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So that it feels good. It's like something to look forward to. Like Friday, we look forward to anyway. I always love Fridays. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, and that's usually my favorite night of the week. You know, we had this teacher. I was like, treat every day like a Saturday and every night like a Friday night. So I'm like, word, you got that right.
What teacher was that?
Mr. Coolman.
Yes.
Yeah, he did that. He said it all the time.
What a cool man.
I hope he followed me on Instagram. That'd be sweet. He used to listen to the band and had all. I remember seeing him a few times after that. Mm-hmm. And he had our records and stuff. I was like, wow. Like you kind of. I didn't think you liked me that much when I was in school with you. But anyway.
Treat every day like a Saturday and every night like a Friday night.
Yep. Or maybe he said, I think he said, every day's a Friday and every night's a Saturday night. He used to say something like that. Like, if you ask him, how's he doing?
Yeah.
He'd be like, every day's a Friday and every night's a Saturday night. I'm like, mm-hmm. I hear that positivity.
Mm-hmm.
But right That's now funny. It's 7:15 in the morning and I don't want to be here.
I think it's piggybacking on what you were talking about earlier with the consistency. I just think that's a big thing, too, going into 2017 for me. It's just being consistent and like just the importance of consistency in general in so many, in like all areas and facets of life. Because when you're consistent with something, you usually see the fruit of that, you know, come quicker. You see it manifest itself all up and down through whatever, you know, you got your hands on. So I think consistency is like a really good one. How do you think, you know, your consistency has been just in the year 2016.
Some areas it's been good. I mean, as far as like if we're talking life or I don't think we're talking about the podcast really right now, but
yeah.
I don't know. Like we had a big transition of, I mean, dude, we switched churches in 2016. You know, we did everything but move.
I would say, I don't think anything in 2016 was consistent.
Yeah, like there's a massive difference in what our life looked like in like say the end of 2015 to now, you know. And now is good. I mean, I'm not mad at it. You know, there's things that I missed from that time.
Sure.
You know, but like there's just a ton of transition, you know, whether it be jobs, church, career, you know, or you know, starting new things like this, or You know, just every little thing is just like, but now, I mean, not that 2017 won't be transitional as well.
Yeah.
But like, it feels a lot more on the track now than it did before. Like, because when I started 2016, I didn't have a clue. I had like a freaking nervous breakdown at the end of 2015 in a lot of ways. Not really, but just more like a burnout where like, dude, I took a solid month and didn't work and didn't do nothing. Like, the end, like, middle of December, middle of January, whatever it was, middle of November to end of December, something like that last year, I didn't do anything, you know, because everything, we just got back from Israel, and like, that was awesome, but it was, I wish I would have been in a better headspace when I was there, because there's so much drama at home, you know, going on. That was at the start of the rumblings, was like, what are we going to do with band, and start of, you know, the church thing, and just a lot of stuff going on. So I was like, bro, I can't do it anymore. I'm tired. And then we did tour, went to Israel, went right back on tour. You know what I mean? So it was like a solid, that whole fall, I don't remember it kind of thing. There's little blips and pieces that I remember. But that was just a crazy season. So in that winter, it was like, for the first time in my life, I just didn't work at all. I was like, man, I got to just sit at home and like a sabbatical. And all I did was just paint the house, the inside of the house. And I did. I painted like two or three rooms of the house just by myself and listening to podcasts and honestly, it was the most refreshing. I look back at that time very fondly because it was like, I don't even know if that's a word, but fondly sounds like a pedophile word. But anyway, so like looking back on that, I'm like, man, as much as that was weird and sort of a strange thing to do and not economical, you know,
it was therapeutic.
Yeah. And I had no idea at the time how big of a deal it was or how long, but you know, kickstarted that year, knowing that year was going to be hard. I think that was the problem, is like, I knew the next year was going to be transitional. I knew the next year was going to be like, oh, what do I do myself, you know?
Yeah.
And all that stuff. But it inevitably, so this year doesn't feel that way. This year feels like, okay, like a launching point for something that you sort of have planned, you know? And, you know, just me and Kyla being on the same page with the Dave Ramsey stuff has been huge. And, you know, that was something that we were working through at that time too, and figuring out how to do and not knowing how to do it and whatever. But now we're a year into it. We have a plan and a goal and date that we want to be done and all this and that. So just the whole life is just like pushing towards that kind of stuff.
I feel like everybody's jumping on the Dave Ramsey train.
They should.
I would say they absolutely should.
They should. You know, millennials get a lot of heat, but there was statistics show that millennials are better with their money than a lot of people are giving us credit for, as far as not using debt, you know, because a lot of us remember the 2008 stuff and what all happened and everything like that, and hadn't remembered our parents getting like $100,000 in debt or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, it's like, so it'd be interesting to see how that plays out, you know. That could have been just one article that was BS and you shouldn't believe everything you read, but the statistics were pretty good for us on that. And
I gotta check it out. I have a lot of friends that do the Dave Ramsey deal.
Bro, I'll get you started if you want to know anything about it, bro. Like, we'll talk, but...
Yep, there's like a short 7 steps to financial freedom kind of course you walk through, and I forget the steps now.
I got them all on lockdown if you want to know them.
But I think the first step is like start with your emergency fund.
$1,000
in the bank.
It's called the junior emergency fund.
Yep, so that's anything that goes wrong, but can't, like your tires. Fridge goes down. Yeah. Oh, anything that you can't plan for. Now, things like your oil getting changed, that doesn't come out of your emergency fund because you knew that was going to come up.
Yeah.
This is absolute, could not have predicted this.
Yeah.
And then the next step is like the debt snowball, where you start with, say, you've got 3 credit cards, one at 2,000, one at 5, one at 7. You pay off the $2,000
one
first.
One
you
first.
Put all your possible money in there. This is where you start cutting out. You're like, well, I'm not going out to eat. I'm eating another peanut butter sandwich and ramen noodles because I really want to pay off this debt. And it's,
attack it.
And why they call it the snowball is because you pay off that $2,000 credit card and you're like, holy crap, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And that's one monthly payment that now comes off your docket. Now, all that money you were putting towards that, you put towards the next piece of debt, and you just keep rolling it on until it's just gone.
So we started off with, and I'll get candid with you guys because I just don't give a what. I just tell everything how it is. But we started off with something somewhere around
my podcast, Transparency.
Okay.
That's why.
That's good. We started off with something like $28,000 in debt. Now, that's school loans, everything. And
car, all that
stuff. Well, we didn't have no car.
Oh, you had yours paid off by then.
Yeah, mine's been paid off since 13. But anyway, it was like, I don't know, a couple thousand on this credit card, couple thousand on this credit card, maybe one more with a few hundred on it. And then sure. 22,000 college loans from finishing up. And so in since we started, which was somewhere, I guess, at the end of 2015, I guess, was when we started, we're down to where we got two of the credit cards completely gone. Oh, IRS. I had an IRS debt of like $4,000 in there somewhere too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know how to do my taxes. As 1 year into Vespers, I actually made money. So I'd never made money before.
So that sneaks up on you.
Oh, yeah. Like, I forget what happened, but like on paper, I'd actually look like I made some money. Yeah. And I owed the IRS like $2,500. And jeez. It was like, whoops, didn't know about that. And then the next year, like something similar happened. Yeah. But I actually had money saved up for it. And then last year, I didn't know nothing because we were on W-2. But,
gotcha. Quick tip on that for everybody, by the way. Any subcontract work where they're not taking your taxes out,
that's you.
25%.
Put
it
away.
Go ahead and take it, put it in a, not even your savings account. Create a whole separate account.
Mayonnaise jar in a yard.
Yes.
Bury it in a yard somewhere.
Make it completely inaccessible because taxes will come and you will be screwed.
And then you got to write everything off too. Like when you can write off mileage, if you're doing a lot of mileage, that helps. But that's another story together.
Anyway.
But, so we've paid off, I don't know, 5,000 or 6,000 of 20. Well, I guess more like 7,000 or 8,000 of 28, and now we're down to where we have 19,000 left on the student loan, and we have one more credit card. The last credit card has $2,000 on it, so that'll be wrapped up here soon. And then all we'll have left is that one giant student loan. So hopefully, our goal is before we're 30. So we're 27, and she's 28. Gotcha. So we got 2 years basically to get it knocked out, and. So then after that, see, our deal is like we want to be completely debt free, like not owe nobody nothing by the time we're 40 as far as house and everything.
Yeah.
So that's a tough goal, but it's something that we're going to try to do. I've got friends that have done it. So like we're looking at them. We're like, yo, if you don't owe nobody nothing and like I said, walking around and paid for grass, barefoot and paid for grass, that's a good feeling. That's going to be nice, you know? Yeah. And so that's our long-term goal with that.
That's awesome.
But that's a big one.
I'd like to – I got to get on some Dave Ramsey stuff.
Dude, I'll smarten you up, bro.
Yep.
It's easy. Once you get in it, it's – he says all the time that personal finance is 80% behavioral.
Yeah. I mean, talking to my friends about it, it's like – honestly, you know what to do. It's not rocket science. It's just being disciplined.
It's self-control.
And, yeah. Knowing where your dollar is going.
One of the fruits of the spirit is self-control. It's like the hardest one, I think. So,
I mean, Jesus did a whole parable on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's really, I'm sure a lot of people tuned out when we started talking about, the next sermon's on tithing, folks. bring your friends to church next week. So, but that's, you know, hey, it needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
You know, and
I mean, I just feel like there's a lot of financially illiterate people out there. So
oh, absolutely.
Because of that, it just financial freedom is just something that's everyone is desperate for. So
I think every marriage is desperate for it too. Cause like, go look at what causes marriage to fall apart.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is a big thing.
I love when he's like, what did he say? Something he goes, he said, let me talk to you about this. Let's take this from another angle. He said, what if I told you that the number one cause of divorce was exploding cats? Would you have a bunch of cats in your marriage? No, you wouldn't. That's how debt is. Debt's the number one, or money problems are the number one killer of marriages out there. Well, Facebook is up there on the freaking list now. Google that.
Facebook?
Google how many divorces in 2016 were the cause of divorce. Has something to do with Facebook.
See, I deleted mine, and I'm debating on whether or not to.
Nope. Taylor got rid of his. He's never been happier.
But at the same time, though, let me just say this. I live in the town where all my family is, and I don't think it's really fair to compare that. If you live here and your folks are in Kentucky, that's a whole other ballgame. Because
it is another ballgame, but at the same time, it's like I hate being so connected to, like, I don't want to call Facebook garbage, but there's just a lot of just not good vibes.
How I feel.
You know,
it's negativity.
Everything, I'm constantly taking things in. The world's constantly giving me things to take in. Eventually, it has to come out in some way, shape, or form. So if I'm constantly taking all that garbage in, then like I don't want garbage coming out. So yeah. It's just I gotta cut it off, you know. So that's like that was my big thing with
just
with
get
Facebook.
Rid of it. You won't. It's like coming back to cigarettes. Like yeah, they feel good or whatever sometimes, but like they're still killing you. Like you know what I mean? Like I've been off it for 5 years, 6 years now, and it's like
Facebook. You've been on Facebook. You don't have a Facebook for the podcast either.
No.
Really? But see, here's the thing, though. Like, my deal was, okay, if it'll funnel people towards, if they can't find me on there, they'll funnel them somewhere else to find me. And they do. Like, people still, they find my Instagram, they find my Twitter. That's all I have, the Instagram and Twitter. And I barely do those right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the idea, I'm just here to entertain. You know what I mean? And to, at sometimes, preach a little sermon for you. That's really all I'm here to do.
Yeah.
You know? And so, With those two things, have you ever noticed how, like, and I'm not saying it's not like this for, like, I've seen some really negative, ugly things on Facebook, Instagram comments as well, for on celebrities, which I think is a real cancer of society, is, like, how mean we are to people online. Yeah. Like, I hesitate to call it bullying. I just call it just meanness.
I would just say cyber harassment.
Yeah, harassment is the right way to go. I mean, it really is. Like, nobody deserves, like Rhonda, for instance, okay? No wonder she wanted to hurt herself. If she actually reads what people say to her.
Yeah.
Last time it's like,
and all the memes and all that stuff. Like, yeah.
Last time it's like, dude, if you go on any celebrity woman's Instagram and look at the comments.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
Yeah, like I mean,
I think it truly does show like the worst. Like, that's how I just feel about technology in general. So I was talking about Black Mirrors earlier because I feel like. With technology, we get the best of people and the best of what our society represents, but we also get the worst of what our society represents, and it's shown.
Technology. And but for the everyman or whatever, like those of us who have, you know, less than 10,000 Instagram followers, let's say, you know, most of it's pretty positive.
Yeah,
you know, like my friends on there, I've had some of the nicest things ever said to me on Instagram comments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because in the same way that they're confident enough to say something mean, they also are confident enough to say something nice they wouldn't say to my face.
Yeah.
You know, which is
very
nice.
True.
Yeah. And like,
that's what I'm saying. You get the best and you know, the worst of people, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
It really is tough. It's kind of, it's crazy that you see, you know, the polar extremes on a medium, you know, such as, you know, social media. But the fact that it does show that.
That's partially because, you know, in person, we tend to talk about things very neutral.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to get into obviously there's times to be overjoyous about things, but for the most part, we're pretty mundane in our conversations. But when you're online, if you just see a picture that you're just like, oh, okay, that's all right, you're not going to comment, oh, well, I just thought that picture was okay. You're either going to say, that's great, or that's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to put any effort into saying that was just okay.
Right. What do you think about, and this will be tough for you to answer because you're,
sure.
I mean, maybe not, because it's only been 5 years since you've, you know, had Facebook. What do you think about the super long Facebook posts or the super long Facebook statuses?
Let me ask you this.
Instagram status.
That's an instant time to turn away because if anybody posts a Facebook message more than like 20 words, it's going to be negative. There's nothing positive coming out of that.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. Somebody said, okay, on Twitter you follow people you don't know and you do want to hear what they have to say. On Facebook you follow people you do know and you don't want to hear what they have to say.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know if that's 100% true, but all I know is when I got on there, when I took a look at myself and like, why am I doing? Okay, the purpose of Facebook for me there at the end was something to look at before I go to bed. Just scrolling through numbness, whatever, just catching up on the news or whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, what am I doing? Like, why am I following? Like, you and I don't talk. If we wanted to talk, we could.
We would, yeah.
You know, and
that's
you'll call
exactly
me.
That's exactly where I was at, yeah.
You'll call me on the phone. I'll call you on the phone. And the only downer about not having Facebook is I have lost track of some people.
Yeah.
Whereas I would know a little bit more about what they're doing every step of the way. Yeah. But like,
if you would have known that already, like, I bet you can even like name the things that you've lost track of. You know what I'm saying? I think it makes those relationships more meaningful too.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I mean, that's where I was at with it, with like the whole, and I watched a documentary on minimalism.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
Like, I love that. I want to be a minimalist.
So do I. And it's like just the fundamental like definition behind like the minimalism stuff is just like letting go of the things that don't serve you. And I was just like, man, what if you know, we were to really do this in all facets of life, mm-hmm. like how much better would we be? That's why I really want to buy a tiny house. I want to invest in a tiny, because I don't need it. I know I'm a kind of a decently sized guy,
yep.
but I don't need a ton of space, you know. Right. Give me somewhere I can cook, use the bathroom, and yep. sleep, and I'm good to go. Maybe I can read a book or something, but I can always do that outside.
Yep. So, well, I mean, you know, it's funny because when you go to, this is a real perspective thing, because I'd never really been to out of the country much, but we went to Dominican a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And with Cure International, and they showed us around, and like, dude, those people were more excited to welcome us in their home than I was. I would have been too ashamed, because like in my American standards, in yeah. my mind, in this house, I think, oh, this isn't as good as the next guy's house or whatever.
Yeah.
But over there, like when I look at that home, this would have been a mansion.
Isn't the Dominican Republic is an island with Haiti, right?
Next door, yeah.
Yeah, because I went to Haiti mm-hmm. this past summer, and it was the same thing.
Yeah.
All the villagers that were so excited. Like, welcome us into your home. It's like a huge deal for them.
Yeah.
Like, oh
yep.
my gosh. Like, even what little they have was everything they yep. had, you know? So that's what made it
special. They're excited to share it.
I was going to say, they're not stingy with it.
No. Mm-hmm.
Their goal is to share everything with everybody. They're...
You go in, it's everyone's hustling to get chairs, hustling to find seats, the food, right. all the everything that's like being prepared, and it's just the entire culture, the whole, you know, the way in which the, at least in, you know, Haiti, the way in which all the villages lived was just incredible. Like, I was just like, man, this is like what I'm addicted, like I want to come back, you mm-hmm. know. And I was like, man, what if we were in America, live our lives in such a way where we just used what we needed
yep.
and everything else, all the extra stuff was just given until everyone was using what they needed.
Yeah.
There'd be an overflow of just an abundance for everyone to, that's why, you know, I struggle with the whole homelessness thing and all that stuff too. But yeah, that's a rabbit hole.
Well, that's a whole nother sermon, like yeah. you said, but you know, it was just interesting and it made me realize how rich I was, even though in my mind I wasn't. But dude, I'm just almost convinced, like, if you have a home in the United States, like, dude, you're rich. Like,
yeah,
it's amazing. Oh,
yeah. If you got like any type of, I mean, even this right now is,
yeah, this little room right here that we're in is 20 by 20, and it's bigger than a lot of those homes.
Well, yeah,
that
far they were away, that, a lot nicer than
yeah,
some of the things that people are.
Yeah, we got heat and air.
Yeah,
I mean,
one of the villages that we went into, there was a 16-year-old kid who lived with his grandmother. It was only he and his grandmother, and she was like 90 something, and this woman's still sleeping on bedrock floor, and the 16-year-old had the bed.
Yeah,
it was just crazy that they were living in this like little like 6x4 tin mm-hmm. cabin thing, you know. It's crazy, but
it's just different. So yeah. But you know, overall I'm excited for 2017. I think the whole country is.
It's gonna be a big
yeah.
year.
Yeah, the whole country is. When you come off of a kind of a stinker, you decided for next year, like the 49ers, you know. We come off a stinker, we're ready for next year.
It's going to be a big year.
It's going to be hard to be worse than this year.
Yeah.
So
true.
So we'll go from that.
I think 2017 is going to be, it's going to be a really big year for a lot of people. I'm calling it here first.
There you go. Well.
And I'm hoping that for you all too, and the podcast, Nashville Talks. I'm excited about it.
Well, I like what you named yours as well. A good name is easy to sell, man.
Neighbors Narratives, you like that?
I do. Oh, I really
for sure.
Love it.
You like that?
That's yes. perfect, bro. That's great. So that's exactly what you're describing to me when you're describing it. Good. And that's a good find. But
good.
I hope y'all enjoyed our New Year's, what do you call it, the struggle thingy? Struggle year. What do we name this thing? You better remember it before we go dial it in.
Stubborn Growth.
Stubborn Growth.
Stubborn Growth Podcast 2017. First one, and for our inaugural Instagram Live, we're having to decide. We'll see how good us gets over with y'all on Instagram Live. If it works, then we'll do it some more, maybe every episode, depending on the time of day or whatever.
Yeah.
And,
so make sure you DM us. Let us know if you want to see more
send
of it.
All
I, think
your,
can, I think you can comment on the video. Like,
I know, and that's what sucks. I got to figure out a way where I can like be looking at what they're saying while that's going, because it's over there on the music stand.
Can you just log into both at the same time?
Yeah, but it's not showing me what that's showing me. This one here isn't. So
oh, okay.
if you know how to do that, send your questions over to the Instagram DM. Also, I need to start an email. I'll start questions@NashvilleTalks@gmail.com, because that's been a fun one to throw at. I think I plugged it like 10 times in the last podcast and don't even exist.
Definitely did.
Yeah. So somewhere I can have people send their suggestions and hate mail or whatever.
When I'm up and running, I gotta have both of you all on.
Come on, man.
Sure.
We'll
hop on with you.
It's gonna be fun.
Oh yeah.
I think y'all really like it, and I mean obviously, you know, considering, but I'd love to have, you know, both of you all on. It'd be a pleasure.
Well, it's a lot of fun, man. We just
had a lot of fun having you here too, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming in and making this conversation more fun.
Absolutely.
So we'll see y'all next time. This is for Ian Stewart and Trey Dunn, Taylor Jones, National Talks. We'll see you later.